You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you very much for your word, for your presence. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In looking at the day, Father's Day, let us go back and make sure we get a reasonable understanding of God in the first place. So if you would, over in Isaiah chapter 43, you know these things. All I'm going to do is remind you, I hope. Isaiah 43, picking up in verse 10. Israel is to be God's special prize nation. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Now God, you notice the word, I have chosen, my servant who I have chosen, that you may know, believe, and understand that I am he. Not only am I God, but, verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the only God and the only Savior. So when we're going to talk about anything about God, there's only one God, and there's only one Savior. So who are we going to look to for a solution to anything? It has to be God, because he's the only Savior. He's the only Savior and only God. Over to chapter 45. And may, for time's sake, may I go just to the end of verse 21. I'll go to the middle of it. Now, each one of you will hunt for the middle. Where is the middle? Isaiah 45, verse 21. And have told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Now God, you're the only God, we're in his presence, his nature, his essence, his being, he's God. In his awesome essence and being, he's the Father, he's the Son, and he's the Holy Ghost in his awesome being. Now, God is a glorious God, and God being God is going to be glorious and show that glory because he is glorious. Therefore, how is God going to display his awesome essence, nature, being? He's going to have to go, his Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How's he going to do that? Well, God, you could just create things. But how would they understand you? Father, Son, Holy, how would they understand? So God, you did a wonderful thing. You went and the Son of God chose to be the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And he chose to die. So therefore, you're going to create angels. Why are we going to create angels? Because angels will have choice. That's where Lucifer, son of the morning, comes in. I have to give them choice. Now, when you give angels choice and you know what's going to happen, I do, then you're going to go and then take the next step and create us humans. That's right. Now, what are we going to have? Choice. I don't want robots. Everyone has to have choice. And so I make it. So all, everything that I create, angels, humans, have the right to honor me or not to. Choice. Now, having said that, so when you do that, God, what are you doing? You send your Son. The Spirit of God is to honor your Son and make it all wonderful. What is your Son going to do? He's going to introduce us to you. When he introduces us to you, God, you are our Father. What has just happened? God, we are introduced to you in your fullness. How so? You're the Father. God the Son did it. And God the Holy Spirit brings it all together. For what reason? You are God in your essence, nature, being. You are Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We don't say all those things all the time. We talk about you as God. So we know you as God. How am I going to know you as God? By the Father. The Father. Got to have order so you can see how it goes now. And God did that. They had to have choice. Wonderful, wonderful choice. And therefore, over, if you would please, over to the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John in chapter 4, and before I do that, now, and God made you. God made you. God made everybody. Humans. He gave them a body. That's the body we can look at and see. The person inside is a person alive. That's called the soul. Soul, Old Testament, New, breathing. A breathing person, breathing animals. How do we know breathing fish? How do we know they're alive? Because they're breathing. When they don't breathe, they're dead. What did you make us? You made us a body, gave us that, and the body houses the soul. That's the person that lives. And you went even a step beyond. Otherwise, we'd just be living like a kangaroo. No, we are living like a kangaroo because God created us in his image and likeness and put in us a spirit. So body houses the soul. The soul, person, houses, is a home for the spirit. Now, if you can just liken that, so when you're going, here's you are, and God, here's, I'm going to use the light bulb. And here's a light bulb, and the factory made this light bulb. Lots of them, lots and lots and lots and lots of light bulbs. And they're all light bulbs. And we put them in a big pile, a big box, and line them up everywhere. And we can do that. Now, all these light bulbs are alike. They're all alike. Uh-huh. They're, each one, though, is designed for a purpose. God has, that's why you're sanctified, set apart. For a purpose. What's the purpose? To glorify God. Now, God put a spirit in your heart, and the manufacturing, the company that created, gave birth to these light bulbs, put a filament in it. Now, they all have filaments. So when this one is born, when you were born into the world, you were born dead, spiritually dead. The spirit is missing. God is missing. But the spirit is there. That's where God makes you alive, makes you different than a kangaroo. So here we are, and the filaments are there, and the bulb was designed for filaments. Now, when I screw this into the light power, then the filament gets power, and the filament heats up, etc., and lights. That's the purpose of the bulb. The purpose of the bulb was born dead. The bulb was born dead in order to be made alive. You were born dead so that you could be alive spiritually. If you were never born dead, if you were never born, you could never be saved. You can never glorify God. You couldn't do anything because you don't exist until God makes you exist. He's the creator. So here's the filament. And the filament, the bulb receives power and the filament with light and in lighting, and it does. But it has to understand that it looks at all the other light bulbs. People look at each other religiously and politically and every other way. And they look at each other. And they're all the same, all different here and there, but they're all the same. And there's no light. So therefore, the gospel comes along, and you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. You'll be passed from death unto life, and God gives you life. A wonderful, God is the light of the world. Wonderful. I receive the Lord as my Savior. When I do, I'm fulfilling the purpose of God creating me in the first place. God created me to be His, to be able to glorify Him. So God designed me. God designed us for it. So when the electricity comes in, the bulb lights. And all the other bulbs, they don't light, but this one believed, these don't. Now, so you have a person. Here we are together, assembled in God's presence. And God put a filament, if you would, spirit in each, and we need to believe. That's what we're for. We aren't supposed to just sit here and come and go. We're believers. That's what we've been trying to get across. Either be a believer or don't be one. You have to be one or the other anyway. And so you get saved. And God does a wonderful thing in your heart and life. It's a wonderful thing. And God saves you to know Him. Now I got to add another thing, so you know all these. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, picking up, please. Oh, remember the woman at the well, etc. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto him, unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. You're all talking about God and everything, but you don't worship. How can you worship if you don't know Him? You're talking to something somewhere that you can't even define in your mind. Therefore, you worship, verse 22, you know not what. What we worship for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. How are we going to honor God, the Father, by way of God the Son, by way of the Spirit of God? Christ died on the cross to save us, to make the filament, to make the Spirit in you alive, 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 like the light bulb. Make it alive. I don't know God. You could. God designed you to know Him in a most wonderful way. And how are we going to worship Him? In verse 24, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that if your filament isn't lit, if the filament hasn't got power, there's no light. If the Spirit of God isn't saving you spiritually, you're born physically so that you could be born spiritually. And God gave you took care of the beginning of it. He died for you so that when you're born dead, you are entitled by birth, physical birth. You are entitled for spiritual birth, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. That's what it's about. To what? To know the Father. Now, having said that little bit, and I hope that helps you a little bit, in the process. Now, if you are going to go, and God created us, we're created in His image and likeness, and the bulb, I bet you got bulbs somewhere at home of some kind. You got bulbs? Now the bulb, here it is, it's very frail, And in the process, you put it in a drawer, you put it somewhere, it sits there. Do you ever use it? No. It just sits there. Now, so the bulb is meant to be used. So God, here we are looking to you, and God, here we are, and God, you're going to go and save the believing heart. So when I understand I am the God that made the flowers, the bugs, the birds, the bees, the beast, and you and I are fearfully, Psalm 139, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And all 12 systems in your body are awesome, aren't they? The nervous system, every part of your body is we haven't even, with all of our research and all of our study, we haven't even scratched the surface of the magnificence of the movement of a hand and the placement of the bones and the ligaments. It's beyond, and bacteria, billions and billions of them busy inside, good guys, bad guys, all eating each other up one way or the other. And as the good guys, as you know, win, they feel good. When the bad guys win, you feel bad. So here we are. Now, God, what did you do? The bulb recognizes the bulb wasn't meant to be a bulb in a box. The bulb was meant to be a light. And the bulb realizes it needs to get a light, power. And when a person is convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment, they need to be saved. They're dead. They need to have life. They need to have light and life. And when a person does that, they receive the Lord as their Savior. And they light up God. Now, what makes the bulb valuable? It's that when the filament is lit, it's because the light is lit, right? What do you do with a bulb that doesn't light? Either a wastebasket or a drawer. It's light, 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 right. Now, God, what did you do? Now, if you were going back, a different way to say it, if you were going to go and Van Gogh, the artist of the late 1800s, and if you've seen some of his paintings, and probably you have, and paintings, and I look at them, I don't know. I'm not excited about it necessarily at all. But you know what? When the little name down there, Van Gogh, is on the painting, boy, does that become valuable, doesn't it? Man, you can get $10 for it today. Understand? Van Gogh, $10. Uh-huh. Do you know, if you have had a baseball card, a baseball picture, I have pictures like that, things of Ted Williams and all those different people, and in the process of that, if I had a picture of Babe Ruth, and Babe Ruth signed it, do you know, there's lots of pictures of Babe Ruth. But if I have a picture of Babe Ruth, that he personally signed it, doesn't that make a difference? Do you know, I have, and I've had it out here on Independence Day and that, and I have a copy, like you guys could have, of the Declaration of Independence, a photograph copy, of parchment, and et cetera. And I have that, and I have it rolled up and all this stuff. And in the process of that, it's an awesome, awesome thing to have, to see it. But you know what? I could throw it in the wastebasket. But if I went and found the real declaration signed by those 56 or whatever it is men, that's different. Right? Does it make a difference? What makes you different? The Creator does. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when you wake up, not you guys, but when people wake up, they get saved. And they weren't made just to sit in a box and be blank. They were made to light up. They weren't made to riot. They weren't made to tear down statues. They weren't made to be stupid. They're made to be right, wonderfully right. And that's what God has done. Why? To know Him. to know. How can we know the infinite essence, nature of God? By way of the Son, who brings us to the Father. And the Father is the source, the origin of our being. And when I recognize Him, and you recognize Him, then the world looks, we realize that what? We are fearfully and wonderfully made for God. And God is our Creator. And we are to glorify Him. Hang on. Now, as we go, in the light of all of that, over if you would please, in the as you think of all these things. And remember now, I hate to leave pieces out that make all the things connect. You know, God created us, and in Genesis chapter 2 and 24 and that, God created Adam, and then He created Eve, and Adam and Eve were to be one flesh, and they're told to make sure that they separate from the father or mother when there isn't any father or mother, but that to separate, to understand, separate. Well, why do you say that, God? Hang on. Why do you say that? So now, here we are looking at separate, and Adam and God, Genesis 3:15, gave up immediately. Adam and Eve sinned, but God already given a promise, and He told them, the seed of the woman is going to produce the Savior of the world in Bethlehem of Judea. And here's the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman is there. And they believed. They didn't mess around. They immediately understood. They lost the light. They lost the life of God. And they got saved. And God put on them coats of skin. Now here comes Abel and Cain along. And Abel's born. And Abel, Cain is born, etc. And then Abel, etc. And they're born. And now they look. And they look, and here's the parents, Adam and Eve, with the, what are they wearing? Skin. And wouldn't you ask if you were a little kid, how come you guys got this special stuff on? Skin. Christ died for us. A message. You're giving a message, that's right. We're covered. Our nakedness is covered with skin. And that's why Abel is going to go and sacrifice. Cain will not do so. Because they understood the message. They had to have, Christ had to be, the seed of the woman had to die for the sin of the world. Now, having said that, so here comes all humans along, and in the days of Noah, Genesis 6, the humans aren't going to go and look to God. Noah does, Noah walks with God, but the majority, great mass of people don't. And come the days of Tower of Babel, they don't look to God at all, and God is going to find an Abraham, etc., like He found a Noah. And God is going to do a wonderful thing. But in the process of it all, what's happening? Are we looking to God the Father? God created us to know Him. How are we going to know Him? By way of the Son. By way of understanding, you get saved by the Savior. The only Savior is God. And when you understand the Savior is God, then you get saved properly. You can't get saved unless the Savior is God. And the Savior is God, and you get saved, and you look to God, and God does a wonderful thing, and you get to God, who's God. And you get to the Father. Get to the Father. Hang on. Now, in the process of all of that, so humans aren't doing very well at all. So God raises up Israel, and Israel is to be a testimony to God's saving grace. They're to be a special prize people that are just enjoying God's magnificence and mercy in a wonderful way. But they don't do that. So in Exodus chapter 20, please. And in Exodus chapter 20, picking up if I can. Exodus chapter 20. What do we know? Well, in the process, since they didn't want to honor God's word, God gave them the law. What were they to understand? The law was given that they could learn, have a life, and understand the love of God. So here's the Exodus chapter 20. And you know the fifth commandment, verse 12. 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord giveth, Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, how are we going to know? God gave us life in order to have physical life, to know, to have spiritual life. And in the process of all of that, what's the fifth commandment do? It says, honor your father and mother. You're going to leave father and mother. That's right. That's right. But you understand the father and mother are the bridge. The first four, verses 1 through 11, are talking God. There is no other God in no way, shape, or form. God is everything else is created, but God isn't. So here's God. Now how are we going to get, God created us in his image and likeness. And we are related to all the other bulbs, people, everything. We live in this world. Thou shalt not steal and all these things. But how are we going to understand that? We have to understand God created us. How are we going to understand God created us? Honor your father and your mother. That doesn't mean, we've said it 1,000 times, doesn't mean that fathers and mothers are perfect or flawless or anything. It just means you've got to understand where you came from. You didn't come from two mummies, like in Egypt. That's so funny. Anyway, sorry. You know, we didn't come. No, we came from God. We came from God. Father and mother. What is Deuteronomy supposed to do? Deuteronomy says, teach your children. Tell them about what? The father, mother? No. Tell them, put write it on your forehead, on the doorpost everywhere, Deuteronomy 6. You're a God. You know where you came from. From God. Where did the little kid child come from? God. Who's the little child belong to? God. It doesn't belong to parents. There's no way. Parents have delegated authority to raise it, but they are not owners of anybody. God owns them all. And every soul is accountable that God creates to God. Every soul. No exceptions. So, it isn't about the fathers, no. The fathers, but if I don't honor the father, and in the last days, think of 2 Timothy 3 and that, they will not honor the father or mother. They're not interested in any of that stuff. That's part of the society's problem today. And in the process of it, in the process of we don't honor father or mother, and how much is there of a good understanding of God? Not much. Not much. I have to understand how I got here. I got here through mom and dad. God created man, woman, child, birth, all of this. I had birth, physical birth. I'm born dead. I'm able to be born alive, to have light, etc. Now, so having all of that little bit, so God leaves us on planet Earth. And the bridge, if we don't honor father or mother properly, and we destroy that family and all of that, then you don't have, where's the bridge? No bridge. Where's God? No higher than the ceiling. There is no God. No family. No father. Hang on. Now, in the process of all of that, so God, here we are looking. And boy, if you're still in Exodus 20, you can turn to 21 just to see it. The opposite of honor, verse 15, 21:15. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Verse 17, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. I mean, that's pretty serious if you ask me. That's to die if they dishonor. Now, no one did that. I mean, who does that? So the whole thing, it gets out of whack. There's no lesson, there's no learning, there's no education. So here we are going down the road, and God is going to say to Abraham, and we don't have to turn there in Exodus chapter 3 and that, what are you going to say when Abraham takes his shoes off? He's standing in front of the burning bush, and wow, And God said, listen, I am the God, verse 6, I am the God of thy father, Abraham. I am the God of thy father, Isaac. I am the God of thy father, Jacob. I am the God of Moses. Why is Moses going to be so marvelous? Because he knows the God of his fathers. The one legacy we give is what? To know the Father. No offense to fathers, I'm one, if it's all right. It isn't about fathers, it's about God. If you don't know my God, what's the sense? What have you got? All you've got's a little bit of comfort and trying to work through life this way. And you don't enjoy life. You want to have life. And that's what it's about. So God, here we are looking. And as we go down, and Abraham, Isaac, it's where is your God? Where is your God? Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I may, over, if you can now, in Psalm 27, on our way. I know I'm moving fast, but I hope you get a little bit to understand that we didn't honor fathers. We didn't honor father and mother. We didn't do that. Society hasn't done that. The fathers did wrong, and the kids did wrong like the fathers did wrong, and the light bulb never gets lit. Lots of light bulbs, births, thousands of light bulbs, but they never get lit. Over in Psalm 27, and you would recall, David's going to tell us, so it's the reality, actually, 27 and in verse 10. Listen, when David, 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So don't count on mom and dad. I would never tell anyone to count on me, and neither would probably you would either. We're disappointed. We're humans. We disappoint people. But that's the way it is. So father and mother, it hasn't worked out history. And we're in the present movement where it's showing itself up to go into the tribulation to boot and with all of it happening. Now, having said that, go to Malachi very quickly. And in Malachi, how does the Old Testament end, as you know? And in Malachi chapter 4, how does God end the Old Testament? Remember, they aren't doing good. They aren't doing good at all. There's going to be 400 years before John the Baptist comes along. They aren't doing good. Now, God, what did you say? How did you sum up history thus far? God said, listen, John the Baptist is going to come, but I'm giving it in a nutshell. John the Baptist is going to come and introduce the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. He's going to introduce him. And he's going to introduce him to fix the problems of relationships, in particular to God, why they're missing. Now, so when we read chapter 4, verse 4, verse 5, better. Chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, the tribulation, and ye shall be a judgment. And he shall turn, what's he going to do? Turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And Elijah's going to come. God's going to send the two witnesses or whatever way he does it, 144,000, however he does it. Like Elijah, John the Baptist was like Elijah, and John the Baptist is off. And the Lord's, that's the first coming. The second coming, he has Elijah again. The prophets are there. The testimony is there of his witnesses. And what is he doing? If you don't fix things, I'm going to judge you terribly. And that's what happens at the end of the tribulation. True. The tribulation and the end of it. I judge you. I told you to fix it. You did not fix it. You let it grow and grow and develop to where it is. And that's what's happening in our world at the moment. Now, having said that, over to Matthew. And hopefully it'll make a little more sense to you. In Matthew chapter 10, picking up, please. And in Matthew chapter 10, our Lord, speaking to his disciples, to the believers, knowing that God loves them and the very hairs of their head are all numbered, verse 31, fear ye not therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Uh-huh. Now, God, you're going to, now, after I just told you, I love you, I'm right there with you, I'm watching over you, to every hair on your head, to every little bird, little bug that dies, I'm watching. So don't think I'm not I'm God on the job. You bet your boots. We're in his presence. That's why I keep trying to bug us. We're in his presence. You can't be better off. I don't know how you can be better off than be in the presence of God. And what does that do with our stupid fears and frustrations? We're caught up, and that's what a shame it is, I think. I understand everyone's different, and I'm just telling you. I think if you and I were in heaven right now, I think all of your frustrations and fears and mine, where would they be? Where would they be? And we don't have to get to heaven to have that. God is present. And if you're saved, he's in you. Now you don't have to go anywhere to have that. You done got it. Either you understand that or you don't. How are you going to do it? By faith. Buddy, you're going to believe the invisible God has said what he means and means what he says, and you better believe him. That's what he said. I don't want him. That's the trouble. That's the whole world. Why are we like we are? What's Father's Day mean? Not a lot anymore. So here's Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." You're kidding, God. No, no. "For I am come to send a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Wow. I told you that. But. No, he said, you don't understand. The system is sinking everybody into the bottom of the pit. I'm trying to save you out of the pit. That's where you get saved. God comes along and puts a filament in the lights the light bulb so you can see. Now, having said that, chapter 12, the other side of the coin, which I'm going to get to. I'll have to do it tonight anyway. Matthew chapter 12. Got to keep, when you have a coin, you can't cash the quarter because of the head on one side. You got to go heads and tails. Then you get your 25 cents worth. Isn't that what a phone call used to be? Remember telephone booths? You probably don't remember them. Telephone booths in the corner, you know. Yeah. And you put a quarter in, you know. Now, so God, here we are looking, and God is the other side of the coin, always, always. A love will sentence the unsaved to hell. The same love saves them for eternity. Same love. Love does the best it can. Now, Matthew chapter 12, as you know, watch it, read it. Verse 46, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood, half-brothers, half-sisters, stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, my mother, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my half-brothers and sisters? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples. Think of the room, it's full people. He stretched out his hand to his disciples and said, Behold, Peter, James, John, behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. We're family. We're family with one Father. Not 10 fathers. There's only one Father, and that's God. There is no other Father. The Jews, John chapter 8, the Lord got after them because they were of their father, the devil. The devil isn't a father. He's an enemy to the Father. So, God, we're to be family. See my brother, see my sister, see my mother. We're family. We're oneness. Unique, awesome oneness in a most wonderful way. Now, God having said that, now over to John chapter 17. It's a unique relationship we have to the invisible God. And either you have it or you don't. That's all. And you can be religious all the way over your head. And you can beat yourself like the different religions, Catholics and that, over the centuries, trying to purge themselves from sin, to get rid of sin, they go hide in cloisters or try to hide somewhere to get away from the world, to get away from people. But that isn't the answer. Sin's a heart problem, and only one that can save us from a heart problem is God, who created the heart. Now, here's John, and in chapter 17, and the Lord is going to say, verse 2, 17:2, As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, what is eternal life? Eternal life, this is eternal life, verse 3, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. It's all about knowing God. That's right. That's right. It isn't about knowing how to count. You're good to count, good to read. All of these things are wonderful and necessary in a real way. But that isn't what it's about. It's about knowing God. That's what it is. It's about being comfortable in his presence. After all, what are you going to do, God? John chapter 14. You read it. I'm going to pick it up, please, in chapter 14. And picking up, please, in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. I wouldn't bother telling you that. Verse 3, I'm preparing a place for you. I want you to be where I am, in my Father's house. My Father, God. God, you are awesome, yes. How are you supposed to be known to humans? He's the Father. God is the Father. He's your Father. Like it or not, he created you. Hold your finger here in chapter 14 and go over to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, and remind yourself of what gives us unity instead of division. Chapter 4, picking up, please, in thought, directly, verse 5. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. because there's no human being on earth that God the Father didn't originate, how did anyone come? The bad guy, the devil himself. God made him. God's the creator. He's the Father. Our Father, that's true. Our Father which art in heaven. But for the believing heart, he is the Father for real. That's what we're looking at. John chapter 14. He's the only Father. There is no other Father. When everything's done, separate from father and mother. I didn't come to make unity. I told you got to get free of the whole system. My grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, 10. No, it isn't about that. Get free of that system so you can enjoy the system and live practically in it and with it. Otherwise, you're caught up in it. John chapter 14, our Lord, you read it, and again I remind us, God, what is life? Life is a knowledge of you. What is it to know the Father? Well, it's to know the Father in a unique and wonderful way. And that's what you read. Remember John chapter 14, verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Well, he already told him he's going to the Father. Verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for what are you the way for? What are you the truth for? What are you the life for? To be able to come to the Father. To get to the Father. To get to God. What am I going to do when I get to God? I'm going to find him my Father. What about a Father? A Father isn't out to... The Father is going to be glorified by his children. His creation. Van Gogh, his artwork, and whatever, the artwork, the magnificence of creation. God the Creator, the Savior. Where does it show up? In his children. His children. You know. And one of the problems with Israel, God said, the people look for the mark that you belong to me. They're looking like a facial relationship. I don't see any mark that you belong to me. I don't see that you belong to me. Are you family? Get saved in a wonderful way to know God's awesome being. And therefore, God said, and Paul said it, the Lord Jesus said it, I should say, in verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known the Father. You should have known the Father. I'm a son of Aaron. You're all a son of somebody, some father, aren't you? You have to be. There's no such thing as a human being without a human father. There's not a critter on earth. So God, here we are. And God, you did a wonderful thing to save us. And so we're looking to you, God. And what's a son do? A son reflects the Father. That's what a son does. Son doesn't badger or beat up the Father. They honor the Father. They worship the Father. That's what God said. You're going to honor me, the Creator. How are you going to honor God, the Creator? He's the Father. He's the Father who loves you. The Father. The Father, yeah. That's why he says to you and to me, I want you to become childlike. Not childish. Childlike. I want you to be dependent on me. I don't mean I take care of myself. I'm a big, good guy. Ah. I said, I want to take care of you. I want you to be childlike. I want you to be wonderfully, wonderfully dependent on your Father. Hang on. Over to Matthew chapter 6. I sort of lost the pace to keep you, so you couldn't miss it. I would give you so many bricks to step on, you never have to step in the water to get across the river. Matthew chapter 6, And picking up in verse 8, "Be not ye therefore," said the Lord Jesus, "unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." Remember, the Lord Jesus is going to say, you'll ask nothing in my name. You're going to ask the Father in my name. "Don't ask me," said he. "You ask my Father. I make it possible for you to enjoy sonship, to enjoy being a father, to enjoy the Father as a son. You don't sit at the table and have to talk to the servant to get to the Father. You go straight to the Father. My Father." That's right. That's why God, the Spirit of God, what are you doing? Here we are in his presence. God, what are you doing? You keep saying it, repeated. It's a command. Galatians, Romans 8. Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. Why do you keep saying it? Because I don't want you to lose out that he's your Father. And you got an old nature that doesn't want a father like that. So I'm going to have to, it's a conflict. And unless God keeps pestering me in a good way that he's my Father, I'm going to get caught up in the system, my own system of the flesh, and I lose out. I don't want to do that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. "Therefore take no thought," 6 and 31, "of what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or whether you shall be clothed. Why? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly," F-A-T-H-E-R, "your heavenly Father knows." See? God knows, But I don't come to God in his awesome deity. I come to God in his wonderful grace. And he's my Father. He's my Creator. He's my Savior. He's my God. He's the Good Shepherd. He's my Savior. He saves me. "Therefore, knoweth not that you need all these things." God knows. God wonderfully, wonderfully knows. So God, here we are looking. And God, you're going to do a wonderful thing. I am. And I want you to know that that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. The seed of the woman went and died on the cross to give you access to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to come to the God. How am I going to come to God? As a son, as a child of God. That's how you're going to come. The Father. There's only one Father. When it's all done, there's one source of everything, and that's God. What is the Lord Jesus going to do when he's all done at the end of the millennium, at the end of the kingdom, and everything's put in order? And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is going to turn around to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15, and sit God and say, as it were, "Here it is. All of it's in order. Heaven's in order. Earth is in order. Everything is in order. Hell is in order. Everything is in order." And he presents it to the Father that God might be all in all, that God could be God, the Father. How would I ever know God in his magnificence? He's my Father. How did I get to know him as my Father? By way of his Son. How did I get to know his Son? By way of the Spirit of God. God's in his wonderful triunity, his essence and nature. That's how I came to know him. A wonderful Savior, a wonderful God. That's an awesome thing. Over, if you would, over, I got to quit, over 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, if you can, in chapter 6. God does a wonderful thing. And by the way, we don't have time, but if you read back, just think for a second, in John chapter 14, as you're reading and you go, you got to do it. I know it's another minute, but do it. Hold the finger right here, 2 Corinthians, and go to chapter 14 of John. I want to remind you, you already know it, but instead of me just trying to say it, I want you to read it. John chapter 14. You ready? Verse 18. 14:18. "I will not leave you comfortless. The word comfortless is fatherless, literally. I will not leave you without a father. I'm going to go to the Father so the Spirit of God can come and bring all the benefits that I'm going to bring, make possible the Father's benefits to your heart. Verse 8, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you again. Verse 20, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode, our abiding place with him. I'm waiting for you to get to heaven, to my place, but I'm going to live in your place until you get there. You're going to be in my place pretty soon. But I'm going to be in your place until you get there. 2 Corinthians 6. You need to have a healthy, holy view of what on earth a father is. And it's going to lead you, if you follow it, that God is the only father there is. And you're never going to call, you know. Anyway, you don't care about that. You're never going to call anyone else father. You're never. There's only one Father. Only one God. Only one Savior. That's all. Well, 2 Corinthians 6, separate, get your heart right. That whole virus and all of these things are testing all the people. Not only in the countries, in our own countries of the world, nations are being tested, exercised, our country is being exercised, and the church is being exercised. And we'll find out, the strong or the weak, that's what we'll find out. Wow. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, picking up please verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? The temple of God? For ye are the temple of the living God. You are the temple. See, I told you. I have a house prepared for you, and your house is prepared for me. I live in your house, till you live in my house. How's that? Pretty good. And a temple of the living God, a God as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be what? Verse 18, I will be a what to you? I will be a father to you. My father was a wonderful man to me, far from a human, and I got through it, and he goes, a sinner got saved by grace, the same as all of us. But God, no one replaces you. No. I will be a father, verse 18, unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now God said, as he turned in this upper room, you know, and they said, here's your half-brothers and sisters. He turned around and said, no, I want you to know, this is my family. This is my family. This is my body. We have one Father, one marvelous Father. Wow. Father's Day. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, we didn't even try to do it. God, you have to understand our failure and our faults and our ignorance. God, we just don't put pieces together. God, you got to help us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your presence. Father, here we are. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.